Hey, you guys, it's Matt Walsh. Have you listened to UCB Sports and Leisure yet? What are you waiting for? It's the number one improvised investigative journalism podcast in America. And it's funny, too. We've had amazing guests in the past. John Gabris, Ego Wodum, Lauren Lapkus, Andy Daly, Rob Hubel, Mary Holland, Ron Livingston, just to name a few. What are you waiting for? Go to the UCB Comedy Podcast Network and please check us out. I think you'll like it.
Hello, I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My arm is kind of rash. Is that a rash? And I had Asian food, and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Hello, and welcome to another Definitely Dying. We're so glad you're listening.
Yeah, thanks.
Ben, what's going on?
We're into the holiday season, mm-hmm. The end of the year. Time
it's nuts.
Of,
it's 3 weeks. I booked my tickets back to New Jersey today, and they're in 3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
It's nuts.
Yeah. I'm going nowhere. I'll be here if you're looking for me.
That's so nice. Like, yeah. Will you actually get to stop?
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
The 17th, December 17th is the end for me.
Great. Great.
It'll be good. Hopefully. Oh, we'll see.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been thinking about, I've been reflecting on, I guess the year passed, but life in general, my life, specifically my life. I've been thinking about me a lot lately. Which is always a good thing to do, to really focus in on yourself.
I only ever think about me. I'm tremendously narcissistic.
I've been thinking, it's weird to talk about a half anniversary or whatever, but I hit the like 3.5 years, without cigarettes, having quit cigarettes. And I had gone through like a period, I would say from like year two to year 3.5, where I was maybe smug. I was very self-satisfied.
Yeah.
I was very convinced that I was a hero and had much to inform others on as pertained to breaking habits and rituals of the negative persuasion. And then I started thinking about the reality that, and maybe this is something that maybe you've quit something in your life and, you know, out there, maybe Madeline, you, maybe, maybe our loyal listeners, thinking about all the things I was doing to compensate for cigarettes instead of actually having quit them. And that like thinking about how much that, I'm a guy who likes the weed a little bit and probably that I was smoking like, a disproportionate amount of weed in compensation for the lack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
And that like, I was probably eating more snacks and probably doing like more things that kind of, I've always had like an issue with balancing my moods.
Yeah.
That, like doing, you know, I would notice in the past and I tried to control it, but, you know, things like smoking a bunch of weed and getting sort of a little bit too low and then drinking a bunch of caffeine and then getting really high and then smoking weed and just sort of like vacillating between these.
Numbing behaviors.
Yeah. A lot of numbing behaviors and realizing that like in quitting cigarettes that I had probably taken on more numbing behaviors to compensate and thinking that like, no, in order to really be somebody who has quit, who is no longer a smoker, it can't just be not putting cigarettes into my mouth. It has to be overcoming those things that were maybe propelling me to like take these, the, you know, because I always knew like I smoked cigarettes because this is turning long-winded.
Super interesting.
I smoked cigarettes to regulate my breathing, that I would get too hyper and then I would calm myself by this breathing ritual, this and then allowing it to sort of settle into my lungs and then exhaling and basically, you know, reasons that are not dissimilar from why one meditates or why one goes through like a series of like of calming mechanisms.
Yeah.
But realizing that like I wasn't using healthy versions of this to overcome my addiction to cigarettes. Mm-hmm. I was just putting other things that were maybe unhealthy in the place of cigarettes.
And anything is unhealthy when you're doing it. for the
exactly
wrong reasons.
Right, exactly, yeah. But in particular, that like that it wasn't just the unhealthy compensation, that they were like bad things that you know, it was like I don't know what how much weight I gained after smoking cigarettes, but I definitely gained weight after smoking after quitting cigarettes, and I definitely was smoking way more weed.
Yeah.
And, you know, not like necessarily an unhealthy amount of weed other than that, like the reason for smoking it at all in those instances was unhealthy. And so, yeah, I just been thinking about that a lot lately. I'm just thinking about like that it's actually time to really quit smoking and not just quit cigarettes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's interesting because it's, I wonder, is it possible to fully be free of that, like, impulse that we well, I guess it's, like, all of it is, like, all of these things are coping mechanisms.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess so maybe, like, not eliminating your need for a coping mechanism, but just, like, replacing, like, these more detrimental rituals with more positive ones. So like, but you already do so many, like you're already like an exerciser and a meditator.
Yeah. Which means that maybe it isn't about replacing something. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's about feeling the feelings that I'm trying to hide from. And I don't, and that's always been like the difficult one for me. It's been a year where like, I probably have been to 18 to 20 mental health specialists in my life and none in the last 15 years, at least 15 years. And this was like the first year where I sort of went back and reconsidered like if it would be helpful for me to like just start talking about some of the things that are like maybe leading me down some habitual paths.
As well, because you apologize so much for having any negative emotions.
Yeah, that's true.
You like, and that to me feels like, like you don't feel allowed to have any like any feelings that are not just pretty like positive and constructive, and that feels like that's in pretty directly related to sort of falling back on all of these numbing mechanisms.
Definitely. I think that and I don't like thinking it, and I know that intellectually I know it's not true, but I genuinely believe my entire existence to be a burden on everyone who knows me.
Yeah.
And I think that that's like not uncommon among in particular people that like, I remember talking to my one of my good friends, a friend of the podcast has been on, Jeff Dutton.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this other friend of ours, and I said, oh, that person is like kind of depressive, isn't he? And Jeff's response was, literally every one of my friends is depressive. And I do think that like we're sort of a circle in general, like a, you know, the UCB community and people in comedy and most of the people that I'm close to are people who are a little bit harshly self-judgmental in ways that are detrimental, but also kind of endearing, like that, like no one, we know so many truly talented people who don't recognize it in themselves, and that's something that I kind of enjoy about them. Like
but at the same time, it's like a little problematic.
It is, definitely.
That also being unaware of your own talents is so celebrated.
True.
Like, and it's even like it's it bothers me that like so many like songs and like movies and trash is made about like women who like don't know how beautiful they are, and that's like fucked up, because like if you're a beautiful person you should like recognize it, and it's weird if there's something so deeply wrong with you that you like don't know it. Like it's we've really really conflated humility with a lack of self-awareness and like
self-destructive lack of self-awareness.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No question.
Yeah.
And and if you're choosing between people who are too high on themselves or too low on themselves, you choose the people that are too low on themselves. But yeah, it's true. Both of them are problematic. You should find a balance. You should be.
And it's not bad to be too high on yourself, because that's like, those are off, like most often the people who get shit done.
True.
And those are the people who get better, because they're not like so busy beating themselves up.
Yeah. No, I just mean like, you know, like a borderline personality level of oh, this person truly thinks that they are God.
Yes.
That's, no one likes person. But a nice, like, I have worked hard for this accomplishment and I deserve it and I'm good. And that's, I would definitely benefit from having that thought at least once a day.
Yeah. Well, I'm feeling you deserve to express your feel, like that you're not just there to be convenient for people.
Yeah.
Like, that, like, you you're entitled to feel whatever you're feeling. Like, it doesn't make you like, it doesn't make you a burden or an inconvenience.
And I always have to remind myself that, like, people really enjoy being helpful. That, like, if you allow someone to be there for you and they're successfully, it's a hard thing when you put someone in a position to fail you, when you ask for something that a person can't give you.
Yes.
But if you ask somebody to help in a way that they can be helpful, often you're just asking for another person to be human alongside you.
I feel like going to therapy would be so good because it would just get, like, give you a space to start to, like, safely practice feeling your feelings that feel less convenient to put on other people.
Yeah. I think that's true.
I think that's a great revelation.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at this week. How you doing?
I'm fine. Should we start the podcast?
Let's start the podcast.
Guys, we have a great guest today. I've been trying to get her on the podcast for a long time. I'm so excited she's here. She's a writer and a director. Her credits include sketches for Jimmy Kimmel Live, TV movies, a wonderful short film called Hairpin Bender featuring Lauren Lapkus, Mary Holland, Nicole Byer, and Marcy Giroux, who have all been guests on this podcast. And she also is the longtime producer and director of digital content for Sprinkles Cupcakes, a very delicious credit. Maureen Barucha, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming.
Yes. We're so excited you're here.
Yeah.
Hey, me too.
Long time coming. Long time coming.
I've been avoiding this, but finally tracked me down.
I am relentless.
Ellen.
You broke me.
Yeah.
Me too.
You can't give me the temporary no, because I'll remember and ask
you're
again.
Like, yeah, maybe it's sometime in the future.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Sure.
Matt will call you 5 minutes later. It's the future.
Yeah.
Get in here. I have to show up and you got to show up. If I show up, you show up. That's what we say to the guests. If Ben's showing up, you're showing up too.
I'm in.
You're in. So we like to kick things off with the same question for all our guests. Let's see how it fits you.
Sure.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think about death?
Ooh.
A light
like
one.
Like lately or just like overall?
Let's start with lately, but
if it's changed recently, that's
interesting. I think
interesting
like recently
too.
Maybe just in the landscape of our country.
Right.
It's probably like a 9.
Oh wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
But probably like in my average life before this year, maybe like 6.
Ooh.
Is that high?
Well,
six, it's pretty healthy for
yeah,
I mean,
6 is not, but the jump, the 3-point
yeah,
jump.
3-point jump. Yeah.
Can you elaborate in what ways do you think about death this year?
I just feel like because of everything that's been going on, it's been so crazy that you're just like, yeah, the world could end at any minute or people could get angry or like I feel like there's just been a weird tension, obviously, like this year within our country and then the world. And so it just feels like at any moment there could be like an anger could explode, you know, and stuff could happen. That and then like I feel like we're just talking about like homelessness, like that problem. And it's like I think any moment like the tide, I mean, I think we've seen it, like the tide could turn on anything.
Yeah.
So it just seems like anything.
You mean there could be a homeless uprising and we could get killed?
Yeah, the balance of just like people that don't have to the haves.
Yes, yes,
like,
yes.
There's way more have-nots. So it's like it only takes, you know what I mean? Like we've never had a coup in this country, but I feel like.
Right.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you mean. Bitcoin. It's out of control. It's out of control.
Online. It's all happening online. Yeah.
No, but it has been interesting thinking about coups recently because of like everything that's going on. It's in Zimbabwe and everything. Yeah. Like being like, oh yeah, there's like a real life, real time coup happening. Yeah.
And then in the news, you know, it's like, I mean, and every day with our president is just you don't think it's going to get any worse. And I'm like, oh, it gets worse.
Yeah.
So you're just like, how much worse could it get?
How much worse could it get? Yeah. And I think about that. And then I think like, what's my line? Like, what's the line where I'm like, okay, I can't be an American any longer. Like I can't identify myself. Cause you hear like this thing over and over again, like, I love America, but I don't love our government. And at one point, like, does that just come to be what represents America to everybody else? And I don't want to be
a
part
of
that.
I never think of like the government as representing what America is. Is that weird?
Well, it
represents the people, but it doesn't represent the idea of what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And when it never occurred to me until George Bush, the second George Bush was in office, and then everybody was like going around wearing like Canadian backpacks because they didn't like what America represented to the rest of the world. And that, like, I think back, you know, I mean, I get that George W. Bush was not a good president, but he never really seemed like a bad person. Seemed like a very bad politician who was molded. Trump's
I'm never
bad.
Gonna leave. I'm going to stay here and fight.
You're going to fight?
Yeah. I'd be a fighter.
All
like,
the way.
Especially like my dad came here as an immigrant and you're like, he can't have been wrong.
Right, right.
He can't have been wrong that this is the best place to live. So I'm like, no, you can't have it.
You can't.
We are going to keep it.
Where did your dad come from?
He actually, well, that's maybe the interesting thing is he is of Indian and Pakistani background, he's really of Indian background, but he was born and raised in Burma.
Oh, whoa.
And when he was 16, Burma had a coup.
Oh, shit.
And he left on refuge. Like, his whole family was wealthy, and then the government took all their money away because the whole country became socialist.
Oh.
And when he was 16, the country kind of imploded, and they left on refugee visas to Bangladesh, which is Chittagong, Bangladesh. And then there, a war broke out, and then they moved to Pakistan. And my dad lived there before he came to America. So he lived in Burma till he was 16,
whoa,
Bangladesh for 2 years, Pakistan for 3 years, and then America.
Oh, jeez.
So like, oh, there's been a lot of unrest in his life.
Yeah.
You know, like they had a most idealistic thing, and you're just like, oh, yeah, it could happen.
What, so where does your dad fall on the political spectrum? Because it feels like when people like would accuse like Obama of trying to like create a socialist country, how does someone whose life actually was sort of broken by a socialist coup feel about that?
I feel like my parents are both more on the conservative side, which I think a lot of, like, my dad's Muslim and my mom's Catholic. They both kind of fall on the more conservative end of the spectrum.
Yeah. I mean, that makes perfect sense given your dad's life experience.
Yeah, and he's definitely like, you work hard, you come here, you like make a life. He's like, his favorite song is like the national anthem.
And how do they feel about Trump? That's such a funny favorite song.
My mom, I was like, I've never heard my mom sing it, but my dad loves singing that song. And had like the Whitney Houston single on his car on repeat my whole childhood.
Wait, Whitney Houston doing the national anthem?
Yes.
Or okay.
Yeah, single, yeah.
That's so sweet. I love it. Your dad just bumping the national anthem.
And my parents, I don't know, this time around, I feel like my mom was a Bernie bro.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad was just like, he was just like, I think sad that there was nobody really to.
Yeah. I was sad.
You know, because he's more conservative. So you're just like, oh, that person doesn't like Muslims. So.
Yeah.
That's problematic.
So what? Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do? But.
Yeah. And what do you do?
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't know who you voted for?
No.
And you probably don't bring it up.
Yeah. I was just like, all right.
Yeah.
He even said, like, I'm going to write in vote. It's like, for who?
You. For you.
Yeah.
My baby girl.
My daughter.
But honestly, based on the choices, I would have voted for you, too.
Exactly.
You told me you'd stay and fight. That's enough for me, honestly.
Yeah,
I'm here
for the long haul.
Yeah.
I'm like if I even hear the beginning of the word coup, I'm on the first plane out of here. Out. See ya.
It's interesting. Honestly, and this is probably just because I've been like a little like ignorant and sheltered before, but like,
amen to that.
Yeah.
Rude, Ben. How?
Amen to that as well.
Rude. Very rude. But I have recently been like more. I've had a lot of recent admiration for like just the way our government is constructed.
Yeah, like, it's like checks and balances.
Yeah, but like that shit works. Like I am so, well, not, I'm a little bit envious of like kids who are like learning that stuff now in high school because it was so theoretical when I learned it. Like when I like took like a government and politics class, I was like, yeah, checks and balances. We get it. But like,
because you're shoved so much, like the president is the person that's in charge, and you're like, actually, he has shares equal power with the, you know, Congress and the judicial branch.
And like, we are pushing it to the limits now, and like, it's never felt so high stakes that like are like, you know, this like system of checks and balances at like actually works.
Yeah.
Like, cause it feels like we're always like just a hair away from it not working.
But you're like, it is working. And that's what I'm going to stay and fight.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah. No, it gives I've grown a whole new appreciation for like all those all those white dudes who made our country are like,
like and they knew that they were like other crazy white guys.
They got a couple, they got a lot of things wrong. Yeah. They were like, hey, you can own a person. Hey, women are not people. Yeah. But like, but they did okay on checks and balances.
Yeah, you're like, that was A plus.
Yeah, yeah. A plus on the checks and balances.
Yeah.
C minus.
Solid F on a lot of
yeah, everything
things.
Else. Yeah, not
yeah
so
everything
great.
Else, like, probably not great.
Whatever you just gave it, like, a C minus.
Yeah.
It was just like a pretty bad
yeah,
grade.
It's actually yeah. passing, so. Yeah.
D plus for slavery.
Yeah.
I would say an F.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would give a solid F. F. For,
I'm giving Fs.
For slavery.
I'm giving Fs to all of it.
Fs. Yeah. Yeah. Even checks and balances?
I'll give checks a C and balances a B because mm-hmm. that's how I'll remember them.
All right.
Yeah. No.
Letters.
I mean, didn't it feel, though, like the checks and balances was problematic when Obama was in office, though? It just like,
yeah,
it always
you were
keeps,
like, you can check in what my guy wants to
right,
do.
Yeah. Yeah. Just nothing can happen. Nothing ever yeah. gets done. And now it feels good that nothing
but
can get done.
Yeah.
It makes me feel safer. But
to me, that didn't seem as like checks and balances. It just seemed like in one branch, it got like jammed up.
Yeah.
On this, it's like people are suing
yeah.
the president. Yes. So then that's like the judicial branch is getting to do stuff.
Yeah, the judicial
like,
branch is
to
like
do
pulling
stuff.
Their, is super pulling their
yeah.
weight.
They really are yeah. saving the day.
Yeah. And it felt not, like Obama, it was more like congressional, like
trying to
like,
pass stuff and it wasn't going. Yeah. But like another banning man. People, yeah. it was like, hey, you can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the all like the travel bans
yeah.
when I was like, fuck yeah, checks and balances.
And even with this yeah. like, I don't know what it's called, but the person that's like that somebody just sued the president because she's like, no, this is my job. And he's like, no, I get to appoint this position.
Oh.
It was like the consumer, like kind of watchdog
yeah,
person,
yeah.
that part, yeah. that position. Somebody was like, no, I get it because
yeah.
I fall in line. He's like, and the president's yeah. like, no, I get to appoint you.
Yeah.
And so she's like, no.
No.
And so she's suing him. And so then the judicial branch will decide.
It's really great.
And that's when I step in and save the day.
But yeah, so that makes me think about death.
Yeah. And then, so other than, so do you, so that's sort of like.
And I think as you get older, yeah. like, I feel like my parents are getting older. Mm-hmm. My brother just had a baby. So it's like, you just see everybody grow. Oh, yeah. Oh, thanks. You just see everybody growing and you're just like, oh my gosh, everyone's yeah. getting old.
Yeah.
I know it.
We're approaching death.
Have you had any like health experiences that have made you more fearful of death?
Actually, yeah. Like, so I had recently in the past 2 years,
yeah.
I just came off my second feature, which was crazy because we shot like in 15 days, we're shooting 10 pages a day, which
holy
is
shit.
Already kind of an insane schedule.
Yeah.
But like, I like to kind of move fast
yeah.
and I feel like the rush of directing and being on set, you know. And so I came off this movie and I should have taken a break right after the movie, mm-hmm. but I like flew across the country, went to my friend's wedding. And when I was in New York, just kind of hanging out with a friend for dinner, during the dinner, I was all of a sudden like, oh, I don't feel good. Like, I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I just don't feel like myself. My back kind of hurt.
Oh.
And I went to the bathroom and I was like, oh, I don't feel like I'm going to throw up. But I came back and I was like, I have to go home. I was like, I'm so sorry. Like,
yeah,
I just don't feel like myself. So when I got to my cousin's house where I was staying, I threw up.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, my back is really hurting. It's hurting so bad.
Oh, weird.
And so I had to get on a plane the next morning. So I like took a bath. I was just like, I psyched myself out to get on
yeah.
this plane and
yeah.
fly back to L.A. And when I got back to L.A., my brother picked me up from the airport and he was like, you look horrible.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I have a kidney infection.
How did you put the pieces together?
I just was like, my lower back was
yeah.
hurting so bad. And it
yeah.
came out of nowhere. Like,
yeah.
it just all of a sudden, it was like a feeling I'd never felt before when I was at dinner.
How can you, like, can you describe it?
It was like, it wasn't like being, well, it was kind of like being nauseous. Like, my stomach
yeah.
kind of felt weird.
Yeah.
And then my back, my lower back, where my kidneys are, just
yeah.
really hurt. Like,
yeah.
they were throbbing.
Oh, weird.
And then I felt a little lightheaded. And again, it was like not like a feeling I had ever felt mm-hmm. before. So I was like, this is, and I just didn't feel like myself.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I just feel weird. And then when I went to my cousin's house that night, I was like, my back is really hurting.
Yeah, yeah.
And taking a bath didn't help. I couldn't sleep. And then on the plane, it was horrible.
Ugh.
And so I called my aunt, who's a nurse, when
yeah.
I got off the plane. And I was like, I described to her what
yeah.
I was feeling. And she's like, you might have a kidney infection.
Oof.
And it had been 2 days at that point.
Yeah.
So she's like, go to the emergency room.
Yeah.
So I actually went to the emergency room, and when I was there, they were like, they did all these tests, and they were like, you do have a kidney infection, but more importantly, you have such high blood pressure right now, you could have a stroke.
What?
Yeah. They were like, that's what we actually have to get down, is like this blood pressure. And they were like, do you have a history of that? And I'd always gone to the doctor and like yeah. had the thing where you like go in and you're high blood pressure and then they take it later in the visit and it goes down.
Because you're like nervous to be at the doctor or whatever. Yeah.
So I was like, not to the point of like this. And she was like, yeah, we have to give you medication. Like you have to go to the doc. Like, and then they were asking me these questions like, do you feel stressed out right now? And I was like, I mean, not really, but I guess I just come off this movie where to me, I guess I was starting to conflate like excitement with like stress, I guess.
Yeah.
And so they gave me blood pressure medication. I'm like, you have to go see a doctor.
Jeez.
So when I went and saw a specialist. And so they were like, they asked me, they did all these tests on my heart. They were like, you don't have any arrhythmias.
Yeah.
They did blood work. They're like, your cholesterol's fine. All my blood work was fine.
Yeah.
They're like, you just have to take it easy. They're like, you have to have less stress in your life.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I was like, well, I'm a director.
Yeah.
So it was hard to like cut out the thing that you love doing. I was like, well, I can't do that.
Yeah.
So they were like, we have to be on we're going to put you on medication. You have to figure out like doing I was like trying to do yoga. I got a breathing machine.
Whoa. Like what? Like one of those like big like.
So there's like there's like one FDA approved machine. And it's funny when they say it's FDA approved. When I did it, it's like, oh, this is just guided meditation. Like you sit in like you sit with like little earplugs.
Uh-huh.
And you put strap it around your chest.
Uh-huh.
And then you're supposed to like breathe in on the low beat and breathe out on the high beat.
Uh-huh.
So it's teaching you like how to like do meditative, and they call it therapeutic breathing. And you're like, this is just like guided meditation.
Mm. Oh yeah.
So I did that but it basically came down to, they were like, I was like, I don't feel stressed out, and I don't get easily stressed.
Yeah.
I don't think.
So I
think I was just like pushing it down and being like, oh, I just feel like excited. And like, when you're directing or when I'm directing, I don't sleep a lot.
Yeah.
So I think maybe the kidney infection like kicked in this like high blood pressure thing.
Yeah.
So it was like, I mean, it was really like had to self-evaluate like my life. And they were like, you really need to take out the things that are stressful. And at the time I was working sprinkles and doing side work.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just want to do the side work. I don't want to do my real job. But the side work was the thing, I guess, that was bringing more stress. Because like I was constantly just working.
Yeah.
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 But that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
So it was a really hard time. And it was about a year that like I had to go back and go for checkups and be on blood pressure medication. And
did you make any changes like to the way you approach your work?
I definitely, what was funny about it was, you know, I tried to do more yoga and I guess I'm just not good at like quieting my mind.
Mm.
So I tried a lot of stuff to just quiet my mind and go for longer walks and like, and to kind of cut, like trying to say no to things. Cause I was so used to just being like, you have to say yes to everything.
Yes,
and
yes.
Like, I want to do all the things, but it just, and at that time I actually had to turn down some things and be like, I can't do this project.
Yeah.
Like I want to, but I just have to say no to more things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did kind of modify, and it's really hard cause it creeps back and you're like, okay, I know that I'm like doing too much, or I'm stressing myself out, or I'm not sleeping well.
Yeah.
But you know, eating right and like trying to do more like just mind meditation for me is like been key.
Okay. So that's worked.
Yeah. A little. I mean, I feel like I'm still on the cusp.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But for a year it was just like, I was really on point about it. And then like after that year, it's like slacked off a little bit more.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
But I feel like I should go back and, you know, reevaluate and go back to like the routine of stuff.
Yeah.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Did you try fixing like the diet and sleep regimen and stuff, but keeping all of the activity? Like, is it like what you described was that like you were working so much that like you weren't sleeping well, and that you were probably like eating whatever you could get your hands on just to sustain yourself. So it seems like almost like the amount of work wasn't the problem. It was that you were foregoing all this other stuff that a person has to do in order to sustain themselves. Like, do you think a person could have all of that work, and if they were conscientious of the fact that like you have to treat your body like a machine, that you could have all the things that you wanted? Or do you think just a certain amount of work is too much?
Well, what's weird about it for me is like, actually when I'm on set, I put myself on a cleanse. Yeah. Because I know, like, and I actually usually, like, lose weight because I'm eating healthier.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, I can only eat protein and this and this, and so I don't eat crafty. And I,
right.
When I was doing features. So I actually was eating healthier.
Yeah. But that's probably not good eating when you're going that hard also, because you're not, where's the carbohydrates?
Well, no,
that you're,
I mean, eating healthy,
yourself,
but just not,
yeah,
eating like any of the processed food that's at crafty, like eating vegetables and fruit and rice and like real food. So I don't think it was just eating, because that was one
thing, or just like that kind of stuff.
Because when they did my blood test, they were like, everything's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All your vitamin levels, all that stuff. They were literally like, it's stress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
And my friends will all say, it's like, you go, 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 go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so it was just learning, or just trying to be more mindful of like, take a break.
Yeah.
You don't have to do stuff today. Like, I never had a day off.
Yeah.
And I did that to myself.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I would just, for like months at a time, I would be like, okay, I'm going to like say yes to everything and never have one day that I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like I was not being productive if I had like one day that I didn't do anything.
Yeah, you were stressed.
Yeah.
Even if it was like meeting somebody for coffee or like, I'm going to like go and like make this connection.
Yeah.
But like, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the thing. It was like, I feel like that's being productive, and that actually makes me feel good.
It's interesting. Yeah, that you weren't experiencing like stress as a negative feeling.
No, it was like giving me more, I'm like feeding off of it and like being more productive, and I was getting more ideas, and like, so it's really hard for me, because to me, that's like what I kind of like, that feeling.
Yeah.
So it's like, and when I'm not doing that, I feel like, oh, I'm not, and I feel like I'm less creative, or like I have harder times with ideas.
Mm-hmm. Busyness is like a little bit like your drug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That you have, and you have to manage it, because too much will hurt your body.
Yeah, I really think that's what it is. It's like, it just, I'm like, oh, that's how I get in the zone.
Yeah.
Mm.
You have and a I high feel like, tolerance.
And I think I learned that, like, actually when I started to think about it, it was like, that's how I wrote papers in high school and college. Mm. I would like not sleep all night and write them in the middle of the night, where I felt a little crazy and like not being, like not sleeping. Yeah. And by the morning, I was like, how did I write this paper? Who wrote this? And you're like, somewhere in my madness, I had like written a paper.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So, and I, I'm not a morning person. I'm like night owl, because I'll just stay up thinking about stuff. But yeah, I probably should have a better sleep schedule.
Yeah.
It's, and but do you, like, do you find that you let yourself, do you often let yourself experience like negative emotions across the board, or do you tend to be like a very positive person?
I don't know. I think I'm a I guess some people might say I'm too negative, but then other people would be like, oh, you have like a good approach to like negative things. I feel like I'm not one to like shy away from negativity.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
I think, you got to get it out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I feel like I tend to be like I'm an argumentative person, or like, let's talk it out, or like, let's get it out. And then once it's out, it's gone.
Yeah.
But maybe not.
Yeah. No, that's, I was just curious, because it's like, some, like, if you handle stress so well, I was wondering, like, if that sort of, if you handle
it. She doesn't. She handles it terribly.
I guess, you go
to the
hospital.
I handle it outwardly well, but my body is taking the brunt of it.
Yeah.
It's all just like inside me, like trying to get out.
Yeah.
You're like a picture of a, you're like a 1950s housewife. You've got this big smile on the outside, and inside you're just dying.
Yeah. Well, I think like part of directing too is just like problem solving. So that's like so exciting, but it's also like managing other people's emotions.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So you're like, I feel like maybe I'm a person that like absorbs that, where you're like, oh, okay, my way to like deal with, like to help you with your problem is to like absorb it.
Yeah, me too. I agree.
And then
that.
You're like, now I'm carrying it.
Yeah, no question.
And I'm going to stuff it down.
Yeah.
And be like, great, we fixed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find like, especially now that you're teaching so much, is it more?
Less so as a teacher. More aggressive towards other people. Like when they're wrong, I just get to tell them they're wrong.
Yeah.
And even if I'm wrong, they're wrong. They're still wrong. Right. Everyone's wrong, but
teacher's always right.
Teacher's always right. Yeah. I'm like the customer of the class.
Yeah. It's true.
But if they disagree for too long, I can just make them leave. Like they just go away.
Yeah. Because also it's everything subjective, and by choosing to take your class, someone is just choosing to buy into your particular subjective way of looking at things.
Yeah.
So if they don't agree, then they don't need to take a class.
Yeah, exactly. You just dropped a lot of money on this wrong opinion.
Yeah.
But no, as I think as a child of divorce, it was always like, and I don't know that necessarily it was even something that was put on me, but just like the feeling that, it's like my job to balance all these emotions. Daddy can't be sad and mommy can't be sad. Still call them that to this day. They're on speaker. If you guys are mean to me, then it'll make mommy sad and daddy very mad.
You need that yin and yang.
Yes. But I always think, I don't know that it, I don't know how much of it I would put on them, but I did always feel like sort of the need to balance other people's emotions, and the easiest way to do that was just to take the brunt of it yourself, to just be like, okay, everybody be happy and I'll be over here in agony for everyone, you know? And no one asked it of me. But it's hard to remember that sometimes when everyone is sort of like reaping the rewards of you suffering for them, when everybody's like having like a nice casual, like crafty lunch while you're like off in the corner, like figuring out these schedules that are impossible to manage. Like, it does sort of seem like they like the fact that you're taking it on for them. And I think I always felt like sort of that with my family.
They didn't
expect it, but I did it and they liked it. That was my feeling.
And in a sense, that is kind of what a director does, right?
Yeah.
Like, you absorb a bunch of the worry. Like, you are the point person, so everybody can know you're taking care of it, so they can all do their very like specific jobs.
And I feel like sometimes on a movie too, which is weird, is like some people are trying to protect you. Like, the producer's trying to be like, if you know, art department has a problem, it's like, bring the problem to me. But then I'm the kind of person that's like, no, I just want to know what this problem is. Like, I don't want to like be sheltered from it, even though maybe I should. But then the other thing too is like, you're dealing with actors, and like, you know, like they're very vulnerable, so you're like trying to be there for them, and like, so, it's like a really, but again, all of it I like.
Yeah.
Do you like being in charge? I consider myself a little bit of a control freak. Once I get a little bit of control, then I'm like, then I kind of freak about it. Do you have those tendencies?
I would say like yes, but then in another sense, the thing about directing I like is the collaboration. Like, I like talking about ideas with somebody and like them bounce, you know, you bounce it back and forth ideas and their idea makes you think of something else or, so in that sense, like I would say no, but yes, I like having the control of like the ship. We're like, this is the direction we're going.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, and if you know, steer way off, you're like, no, come back this way.
Yeah, I would agree with that about, I mean, I don't, it's definitely never a my way or the highway.
Yeah.
But I do like being the one who makes the final decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the one that sees all the pieces come together where you're like, oh, I've picked all the right pieces.
Yeah. That's why I call everyone else that works with me the pieces.
I picked the right piece in you.
Pieces of you.
That was my
first feature. Yeah.
But I definitely feel like in the zone when I'm directing. And it's kind of how I felt when I waited tables.
Oh, wow,
But I think it's the same kind of stress level where you're like, a slow day, I would forget, like, oh, I forgot your fork.
Yeah.
But if I had like a full section and you're waiting a table, you're like, oh, I'm in the zone. And all of a sudden my mind prioritizes everything and I don't forget anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess it's like kind of choosing that weapon wisely, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's like realizing, like,
I think it's a
that,
skill
like,
set.
When you're in, like, on a movie, like, that is when it's so beneficial for you to be in the zone. Right. And then maybe like on a random Sunday, you don't need to be there. Yeah. And that's how you keep yourself
that's like
from
how it's like
deteriorating your whole body. Yeah. I feel like that because I'm I think similar, you know, to what you guys are talking about too, where like I love to be busy and I get so much satisfaction from it. But there is a point when things start to break down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what's hard about this town too, where you're like, oh, I got to keep throwing stuff against the wall to something sticks.
Yes.
Once that thing sticks, it's like, okay, now I don't have to keep throwing things
against the wall. Yes, I keep thinking like, when I get like staffed up for the first time or like sell my first thing or whatever, I feel like I will somehow immediately feel less busy than I ever have.
Yeah.
Even though it will probably be an enormous amount of work, just like the ability to focus feels like such a luxury.
Yeah.
that you can stop being like.
And then at some point, I think I've always thought like, is that also my crutch where you're like being busy is like a way. Again, it's kind of like in school where you're like, oh, I'm going to do all these things so I can be good at all of them. But if I had one thing to just focus on, what if I didn't do good at just that one thing?
Yeah.
Like a couple of years ago, I feel like I hit a little bit of a turning point where I realized, like I made a concerted effort to stop being busy to make myself feel good. and mm-hmm. to start and to like sacrifice a little bit of that like feel good busyness yeah. for a little bit of focus on like the, I was like, what projects, if they were completed and successful, would I be so excited about?
Yeah.
And then I was like, all right, then the second half of this list needs to go. And I need to like deal with a couple afternoons where I feel bad because I don't have, like, because I'm yeah. waiting on things from other people and like a project is stalled. I was like, I think I need to learn to like sit in that yeah. or I will never, or I will always feel proud of myself for being busy and never actually accomplish
anything.
The goals that are the most important
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
You know what's actually weird about my heart? I just remembered this yeah. about my heart situation is, so when that happened, it was like 2 years ago. 1 year previously, I was in Atlanta and my dad took me to see this herbalist. Mm-hmm. And it was like this like Chinese herbalist. And it was yeah. like, oh, this is kind of cool. And he met me and he just held my wrist for like 20 minutes
yeah.
and felt my pulse.
Yeah.
And so like their whole thing was like reading what was wrong with you. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, you have you're deficient in your chi and your spleen.
Huh.
And he's like, you will. And I honestly didn't remember this until like after I went to the doctor. Like, if you don't start taking more time, walking more, like breathe, like you will have blockage in your heart.
Oh shit.
So everything oh, wow. that he said in that like preventative, because I really do believe that like Eastern medicine and Western medicine yeah. are the yin and the yang, where you're like yes. preventative at Eastern, and when something's broken, nothing fixes it but Western medicine.
Yes.
But if I had listened, because he gave me these Chinese herbs and he told me these things to do, and I didn't listen. But like after I look back at it, I'm like, oh my gosh, he said like I have like I'm deficient in my chi and my spleen, and if I don't do these things, I will have some blockage in my heart. And like, but it was also like, you should take time, or like be in relationships, and or like yeah. he was literally like, you need to find love. And I was just like, oh, this is so weird that he's just like holding onto my wrist for like 20 minutes and looking into my eyes.
Yeah.
And being like, I can feel in your pulse, like all these things.
Yeah.
It was so weird. But I'm like, so oh, weird. He literally said that like a year before all this happened.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
He's the greatest doctor of all time.
Yeah. He was on Oprah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Was he really?
Yeah. Oh, so it was yeah. Deepak Chopra.
Are your parents into?
My parents, yes. Like my dad,
Eastern medicine?
My dad doesn't yeah. like us to take medicine.
Really?
Like we will, but he's like, oh, you know, preventative, like,
yeah.
you know, and then he'll always be like, see, my dad's always like, I told you, like, you didn't do the things that yeah. I told you to do. And you're just like, okay, dad.
That's so
but he was funny. Always into like brown rice and like smoothies and like when we were kids. And
oh, really?
Being Indian, I think he was much more open to like homeopathic yeah. stuff to prevent things. And I did acupuncture when I was in high school because my parents were like, maybe you should go and try it. And because I had migraines when I was little.
Oh.
What does your dad do?
He went to school for nuclear engineering.
Oh, wow.
But then he got into the restaurant business and became like a manager and owned a couple restaurants. So.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
An arguably harder business than yeah. nuclear engineering.
Yeah. I always like to think like yeah. maybe if he'd been a nuclear engineer, maybe he would have created a bomb. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So he maybe picked a better path.
Yeah.
Instead, that honor falls on you.
Yeah.
Did you ever have an experience growing up where like you like should have had more Western medicine or was there a pretty good balance in your household?
I think there was a better balance when I was yeah. younger. I think now as my parents are older, they're way less into Western medicine.
Really?
As they get older, I'm like, now is when you should be taking medicine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think now that they're, when I was younger, it was just like, do these things and yeah. be healthy. But if you're sick, it's okay.
Yeah.
But it doesn't like us to go on antibiotics if we don't have to.
Yeah.
Madeline loves a good antibiotic. Get rid
I just
of
like
bed.
Knowing it's available. Yeah.
And it's not. It's often not.
No.
But we were all vaccinated and everything.
Yeah, yeah,
it wasn't
yeah, yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Speak for all of us. Because it's true.
So this is like a little bit of a left turn, but you walked in here with, you have a boot on
I
one of your
boot, yeah.
feet?
Yeah. Yes.
Hey.
Yeah.
It's true. It's not just, it's not more of that
I'm
classic Madeline Walter bullshit. She's really wearing a boot.
You really were? What yeah. happened to your foot?
Okay. I mean, I honestly don't even go to the doctor much, but actually last weekend I went to the emergency room because on a Thursday I was walking around working and I was like, oh, yeah. maybe my foot's just like tired. You know, I'm like, oh, yeah. just long day on my feet.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, no big deal. The next morning I woke up and it hurt a little bit more
yeah.
on a Friday. I was like, oh, I'm just limping a little bit.
Yeah.
My sister was like, maybe you should go to the doctor. I was like, it's probably fine.
Yeah.
On that next Saturday, I woke up at 6 in the morning because it hurt so bad.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't walk on it.
Eek.
And so it's in my large toe. So I was also looking it up and I was like, what do I have? Like,
yeah.
you know, all the things that I could have. When I went to the emergency room, they were like, it's probably gout. I was like, gout?
Gout?
What? Yeah.
Were you Benjamin Franklin?
I know. I was like, what? I eat, you know, I was like, I just dine on liver and wine.
Yeah.
Exclusively.
But don't forget to answer Madeline's question. Are you Benjamin Franklin?
Benjamin yes. Franklin. Time traveler.
I'm sorry that people don't answer some of your questions,
hey,
Madeline.
People really ignore your back, my most hard-hitting questions. I never know.
Maybe she didn't answer the question because she's wearing a boot on her left foot, and you asked, and you prefaced this question by saying, I'm going to take a left turn, turn she clearly can't make, Madeline.
Boot foot.
I just go in
boot
circles.
She's been walking around in circles around this mic. We have to wait until she makes a full turn before we ask a proper question.
Yeah, it's a great editing job. This podcast takes 6 hours to record. Yeah, yeah.
Revolving around the mic.
So when I went to the emergency room, I couldn't move my toe. It was swollen, and they took x-rays and they're like, actually it's not gout. I was like, okay, great.
Thank God.
Great.
There were in your toe, in your large toe, and gout usually shows, just an FYI, you have inflammation or achy in your large toe joint. That's a sign of gout.
Oh, my large toe joint often hurts.
Really? Gout is actually making a comeback. I was reading all about it online. It's like a lot of young people have it.
Wait, how do you get it?
People Magazine's sexiest man on earth has gout. Blake Shelton.
Blake Shelton has gout.
I mean, that's what they kept. When he was announced, people would be like, a guy with gout is the sexy, and it felt like it was very rude to gout. But,
I always felt pirates
but
had gout. I guess it's just like fat, you know. Not now, but I mean, back in the day, it was kings.
Like a fat king would have gout.
Because they only ate fatty foods and drink wine.
Yeah, and
raising
they never.
The roof.
Yeah, raising the roof for a fat king. Well, yeah, because they never had to stand up. They just ate a turkey leg and drank a glass of wine.
Just liver.
It's the life.
My friends.
Fatty kings. It's not just my favorite blunt rolling paper any longer.
My friend's husband got gout in law school, and he's a thin guy, but there was. This is my favorite gout story. There was a competition at their law school for who could burn the most number of calories in the gym. And so it was somehow hooked up to the exercise machines. And so he was trying to win this calorie burning competition. So he would go on the treadmill for probably an hour and a half every day, but he still had a law student diet of pizza and just kind of your normal what you eat when you're in, you know, a college setting or a law school setting. And so he was getting so little nutrition because he was eating junk but burning so many calories. And so he got gout.
I mean honestly it's mind boggling that the youth of the world is just gout ridden.
Yeah. Wait, so how
you got gout.
Yeah. What else did I want to hear about the rest of the story, but I want to know what else you learned about gout.
I mean, it was just mostly that it's actually an epidemic and that a lot of young people have it now. It's just this is so weird.
Like our age or like teenagers?
Probably, no, I think 20s, 30s.
Why, I wonder.
Because when I was looking it up, it is from lack of nutrients and a lot of rich foods and wine.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. They're just not eating enough fruits and vegetables and probably one of the main factors.
Yeah.
Probably it's also hereditary. I don't know.
Yeah.
But.
I'm really happy I don't have gout.
I'm happy I don't either.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I do because my big show joint.
You should look it up. Go get it checked out.
I ate a lot of fruit, though.
You eat too much fruit. That's your problem.
It turned out that
you have fruit gout. Yeah.
I have fruit-induced gout.
I have too much fruit. I mean, all I have is fruit and wine.
All I have is fruit and gout. It's no
but
wonder.
But they were all convinced it was gout. They were like, it's gout.
Yeah.
Even though before they had looked at it, they were like, we just see it all the time.
That's
nuts.
That's crazy. Yeah.
But then
nuts.
They took an x-ray.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, it's not so it turned out. So again, your toe has your thumb, it has two joints. It has the base joint and then it has the little joint at the top.
Yeah.
So the little joint at the first top joint is the little one on your big toe. I had a bone in there.
Bone in your joint?
Yeah. They were like, "Oh, I think you've actually there's this thing I can't remember how you say it, but like some people, cartilage turns into bone. So you might have had some extra cartilage that became a bone. And it's in your joint, so you can't move your toe. It's inflamed. So they were like, you have to go see a foot, like a podiatrist.
Yeah.
ASAP.
That's and crazy.
And so my podiatrist's name is Myron, which I was like, ooh, appropriately named.
Yeah.
Myron.
Oh, yeah. He was born to be a podiatrist. Yeah. You don't go to that place with the happy foot and sad foot, do you?
No.
You mean Dr. Fonzarelli? No, you don't go. You don't go there.
I don't think Myron,
go
Myron. His name.
Myron. No, it's not.
I would believe it. Well, you know, it's one of those LA names.
It is.
Maybe they named the Fonz after the sad foot happy. For anybody who doesn't live specifically on the east side of Los Angeles, I'm referring to
real deep cuts.
Yeah, deep cuts. This one sign on Silver Lake Boulevard where that's a rotating sign outside of a foot doctor, and one side is a foot with a sad face. One side's a foot with a happy face. It's a great sign. So you went to Dr. Myron.
I went to Myron, and he was lovely. I mean, it was also really sad to be in that waiting room, by the way. It's like, some people didn't have feet. Like, there are a lot of old people, like people in wheelchairs. Like, it was just like, oh, wow, yeah, these are all foot injuries. You just forget. You're like, I'm going into a podiatrist's office. Right. And you're like, oh, these people have really horrible foot injuries.
Yeah. That's terrible.
You expect athlete's foot.
Yeah. You're like, oh, everyone's in here, like, you know.
Planter's wart.
Yeah.
But he actually didn't know it was wrong. He was like, it could be gout still.
They will not drop this gout thing.
He was like, he also asked me, he's like, it actually could be an old soccer injury. He's like, did you play soccer? I was like, when I was in junior high school. And he's like, it could be that. It could be that you didn't realize you had it, or you stubbed your toe and the bones from your toe broke off and just went into your joint. So we said the only way to find out is they have to have foot surgery.
But they have to open up your foot and see what that is?
They have to take out the bone from my joint, my bone toe, and then they'll do a biopsy on it. And they're like, if it's new bone, then you've grown bone. And if it's old bone, it's from an old injury.
And this came out of nowhere. Does it matter which one it is? Is one good and one bad?
I don't know. But he also asked if I had psoriasis. He's like, do you have psoriasis? Because I guess I never knew, but psoriasis, I think, is a form of arthritis.
Oh.
And it just manifests itself in the skin. Because he asked, he's like, do you have psoriasis? And I was like, no. He's like, it could be. And there's a lot of actually kinds of bone tumors that people are benign. But he's like, it could be a bone tumor.
Jesus.
Oh.
So it was like, there were like five things. And he's like, I don't know what it is, but we just have to take it out.
Gout, psoriasis, bone tumor.
Yeah.
You grew bone or had you lost
injury.
A bone
he
in your body.
He thinks it's an old injury, but.
Wow.
So we have to. I had never had a surgery or gone under. So I was just like, oh.
It hasn't happened yet. This is the preemptive.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have to wait till the inflammation goes down. I've been wearing this stupid boot.
The boot.
Yeah. It's really hard to like. I mean, I've been hiding it well because I try to offset it by wearing a black shoe on the other.
I didn't notice. But like when we saw each other in the cafe before we recorded, I didn't notice at all. I only noticed because you walked towards me from a distance and there was nobody else around, so I had time to take in your entire outfit.
Yeah. I've been hiding it.
And it didn't look like a boot, it simply looked like you were wearing two different shoes.
Which is also a new style.
Asymmetry is very cool right now.
It's like, that's actually the sign of gout people.
Yeah, we're cool, we have gout, we wear two different shoes. Yeah.
Hence, sexiest man on the planet.
I can't believe Blake Shelton has gout, because he's probably just like,
he just eats,
eating a bunch of barbecue and
just
hanging
like
around,
wine and liver.
Drinking wine with Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
Eating wheat bread. Wheat. Give me some wheat.
So it's been a wild ride.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
So, and it came out of nowhere. Like, I've never had a problem with my toe at all.
No.
And it just happened in like 3 days.
That's
I get that
nuts.
Sometimes where like, I mean, it won't be my toe, but I'll just wake up one day, I'll kind of get out of bed and be like, oh, well, this is one of those days where I can't really walk so well today. It'll usually be my knee, but it'll just be like, it doesn't feel like it's, yours is an actual injury.
Yeah.
Mine, I just sort of like wake up some days and it's just not a walking day.
Yeah.
Which is a sad way to think of a day.
Yeah. Today's not the day I walk.
No, today I didn't walk today.
The other thing is they wanted me to go on crutches from the emergency room. Was like, oh, I can't work. So then they're like, you can wear the boot, that's fine. But
how does the boot help?
I guess it's softer and it like keeps your foot straight.
Oh,
and it just kind
of
like instead of having pressure on your toe.
Okay, yeah.
But it was so bad at the beginning. I mean, it's better now. It's been like a week or 2 weeks actually.
Yeah.
And so the inflammation has gone down and it's not as bad. But I tried to put on a real shoe and I was like, oh, maybe I'll wear a real shoe. And then I like walked around and I was like, oh no, I can't do that.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, that's
it's
so
hurting
crazy.
Again.
That's so nuts that it came out of nowhere.
Yeah. It's like, oh, and then it just like really felt freaky.
Yeah.
I wish that it had some powers, but it doesn't.
Mm. Yeah. You just grew bone.
Just grow extra bones. Nothing.
What do you think? Should we play a game? Yeah. Is it game time?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a list of 8 of the most common holiday-related injuries.
Oh.
And you and Ben are collaborating in this game. So you can either beat the game together or nobody wins.
Okay. Together we die together.
Yeah. And you have there. So let's see if you can guess all 8 of these. And you have 2... like
strikes.
Two strikes. Yes. I was looking for the right word and I couldn't. And strike is exactly.
Two strikes.
Yeah.
So the, is it top 5 you said?
8.
Oh, 8.
Eight. Yeah.
Okay.
You wanna kick it off first?
Okay. How about a bloody nose? Is that an injury?
It is an injury. So if this were just a game about listing injuries, you would be correct, but it's not. Okay. I'm going to give you half a point. I'm not going to count that as a strike.
Okay.
I'm not going to count that as a strike because it's very close to sports accidents, which is one of the categories.
I see.
And a bloody nose could easily be a sports accident.
Yeah, me.
But sports injuries are super common around the holidays because families get together and play sports.
Makes sense. Yeah.
The Manning family.
Yes, the Manning
family. All those
family
board game related injuries.
So I'm gonna count. Yeah.
Sometimes in
Scrabble
Monopoly,
fights.
I'll just shove one up my nose, start bleeding. Yeah. Okay, so Scrabble fights is on there.
Yeah.
That's what we're gonna call this one.
That's nose. That goes with nosebleed.
Yeah, yes. Scrabble fight nosebleed. I'll throw in electrocution from holiday trees.
Yes.
Electrocution?
Yeah, electric shock.
Electric shock, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we got 2.
So you got 2. Yeah. And also just a tip from this website is one way to reduce the chance of electric shock is to buy reputable Christmas lights and electric products that have a safety certification mark such as CSA, UL, or ETL.
Oh, I always have one of them at my Christmas.
Yeah, no question.
I put up my tree.
Oh, great.
I make sure my holiday ham is even certified by
CSA certified. Yes. Yeah.
The ECL.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe you said those letters. Okay. So we got electric shock.
Yeah.
And we've got Scrabble nosebleeds.
Yeah.
How about drunk driving?
Oh, that's a good one.
Car accident.
That's a good one. Car accident.
Ooh,
nice.
You're right.
Nice.
Car crashes. Yeah.
That's got to be near the top.
I mean, Irish Catholic family, there's lots of those in mine. I mean, not now, but.
Yeah.
I feel like there's
always stories of like, oh, Uncle Bob came and crashed his car. Because he was like drinking a beer on his way to Christmas.
What?
Okay, I'm gonna go with, and I don't know if this slip and fall because there's gonna be ice and stuff like that. So I don't know what you'd exactly call the injury, like back, broken legs.
Well, I'm gonna,
or maybe they're all together. I don't know.
Well, you know, I'm gonna give that to you because. Yes. You slip and fall is very it falls.
Falls, yeah.
Falls, okay. but not necessarily ice. It's decorating because people step on stools and chairs and ladders, and people are constantly falling.
Yeah.
When they're putting up decorations.
These should just be on the ready from watching like America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah, be on the ready next time, folks.
Yeah. Actually, this is a great fact. According to the Center for Disease Control, do you want to guess? Just give me a ballpark guess for how many people a season are treated at hospitals for decorating related falls.
Oh my God.
What do you think? 1,000?
Sure.
We'll say 1,000.
17,000.
17,000?
Yes.
There are 17 times as many morons as I would have guessed.
Yes. Really?
I'm their king.
17,465 people were treated at hospitals for holiday decorating related falls.
That's insane.
That's insane.
That's
I thought
like
1,000
insane.
Felt pretty high.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that,
because
it feels
tip.
Bad when you overshoot.
Here's a tip.
You just did like $1.
Yeah.
No, here's
the but still a
we
thousand.
Won.
We won. Yeah, we won.
We didn't go over.
So big tips, use a step stool instead of furniture. So you know what? Give your loved one an early Christmas present of a proper step stool. And then when you're using a ladder, have someone hold the bottom.
I mean, these are just like normal things. things.
Yeah.
I always stand on a chair in my house. I've almost fallen down. Like every time I put something on a shelf.
It's like putting the star on where you're just like, I can do it.
In my family, we put a Jet Santa on the top.
You know what? My family, we do a Grinch.
Ooh.
my family, we reflect on the 6 million Jews that died during the Holocaust.
Happy holidays.
Happy
holidays.
Did we get, how many did we get?
We're at four, I think.
I think you're at five.
Speaking of that, I'm going to say Burns.
Burns.
You said you were like lighting candles.
Baby.
Burns.
Yes. Yeah. The Holocaust reminded me of that.
Yes.
I'm like lighting a menorah.
Oh, gas
lighting
showers.
Lighting a menorah.
Gas showers. That'll be my next guess. Gas showers.
We're like lighting candles.
No, you're right. Yeah, Burns has got to be a biggie.
Candles and also electrical outlets that are overloaded because of all the lights and shit.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because families are getting together and they're cooking large meals, I'm going to go with food poisoning.
Oh,
what do we say?
Is that an injury?
I guess that's not an injury.
I don't know. Well, I don't know what the parameters.
This is it's very close, but so it's food related. Okay,
choking.
I'm gonna give yes.
Choking.
We're winning this together.
We did.
And
we
it's
really
a
are
combo.
A good team.
You guys are a great
we're a good team.
Because
yeah. really,
and it's not
here.
Just yes, food, but it's also small trinkets. The the sentence is the way they say it, with the amount of food being ingested and the small trinkets that kids get their hands on, it's no wonder why choking is one of the biggest injuries during the holidays.
Now, year after year, I have that incident where I have not quite finished wrapping my diamond ring for my lady friend, and then she walks into the kitchen and I got to swallow it real quick. Year
you
after year.
So many diamonds.
You'd learn.
Yeah. I am so rich.
I have so many in my belly.
Oh, man.
I
the
just
right
a
girl
belly
is going to
full of diamonds.
Pump this stomach.
When they're x-raying you because of your definite case of gout, they'll
like,
see
I
you
also
don't
have
diamonds
in my
belly. Tummy full of rocks.
I like just from your story that we can determine that there is something called definite gout. You just like they don't even bother to check, and they just say you've got definite gout. It's in the cards. Yeah, it's true.
So you have two more.
Oh my
We're
gosh!
So good at this.
We're
really you guys good, are so good at this.
How many strikes do we have?
None.
I know.
I just wanted everyone out there to know that.
Hey, listener,
there's
land.
One that I really think you're not going to get though.
Ooh,
I have to say, there's a tricky
challenge.
One, and since you have the strikes and since
challenge.
You're being so cocky, I'm gonna.
You just raised our hypertension.
Oh, no.
My heart, my blood pressure.
It's through the roof.
My heart.
Through the roof. Yeah. I can taste salt right now because of you. Okay, so.
All right.
I think,
does it go to me?
I think it's you because we're at six, right?
Yeah.
So we've each done. You finished off my food one with choking.
With choking,
but I still,
yeah. And you can also, because we're at our final
great
two,
team.
You are allowed to confer as well.
Okay.
If that's
okay.
Helpful.
Okay.
Okay.
You have one.
Like now it's getting tougher.
So we've got. We've got the injuries from the board games.
Yeah.
We've got
Burns,
electric shock, choking, falls.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the sixth one?
Car crashes.
Car crashes.
Oh, yeah, drunk,
right.
You have car crashes, sports accidents, which is the bloody nose, Scrabble accidents.
Frostbite be one?
Electric
or like
shocks.
Cold?
Choking,
yeah. Or how about
falls,
just,
burns.
No, is a cold, it's not really an injury.
But frostbite feels like that could. Yeah, I mean it is freezing cold.
In a lot, I never know that because we live in California.
Right.
But, okay,
we got
I'm gonna say frostbite.
I'm sorry to say that is a strike.
Oh,
damn.
Okay, that's okay.
Sorry,
you know what?
That's my bad.
Everybody's warm and cozy on the holidays. They're not getting frostbite because they're inside with their families.
But don't carolers have injuries?
Yes. What about the carolers?
I care about
carolers
the carolers.
Apparently, carolers are not. Injured
your
enough
campaign for governor.
To be the top eight.
I care about caroling.
I care about caroling.
Okay, so here, piggybacking off of your response, people are all nice and warm inside for the holidays. What about alcohol poisoning?
Oh, yeah.
It's another strike.
Mm. Oh, so that's
another
two.
Strike.
So wait, did we each get two, or did we just? I forgot that
I'll
was.
I'll give you
effort.
Each two.
Okay,
we're,
nice, yeah.
I'll
okay.
give you each.
Okay,
two.
Okay,
you
okay.
each get two strikes.
Yeah, so much.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. I would say, like, is there kind of some head-related injury?
Yeah, like...
Or, like, a migraine count or, like, a headache?
Maybe concussion of some sort? Something
or, like, what about, like, breaking a finger? Like,
yeah,
you
I was
know
thinking
I mean?
That,
like,
too.
How about, like, a broken finger? Or broken bones?
Yeah, broken bones. The problem is that she told us like, there was one that was gonna really stump us, and now I'm trying to go. But there's still one that should be
one
like
easy sort of, one. Like, what are things that you do at the holidays that would cause injuries? Cooking. Oh, what about like cutting yourself?
Madeline's making. Let's.
I'm gonna go with like cutting. Yeah, cutting.
Nice, cutting. Nice.
On accident, not real cutters.
Yeah, cuts from rush dinners and turkey carving accidents. Yeah, it mostly seems like it's
a carving.
Yeah, carving and also rushing at dinner.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna go with cuts or
carving. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Cut related injuries.
Yeah, cut. Yeah, cut related injuries. 100%.
Okay, now comes
what? Now is the last. Now is the real.
What if there was a subset of cutters called carvers? That'd be a horrible thing to think of.
I mean, there probably is.
You're right. There is like people who like We
stumbled onto something dark.
Yeah, we did. Okay. So this is the one that
two strikes
that
and one
Madeline
left.
Believes that we could never figure out.
I will be.
Could it be like sex related injury? It.
Oh yeah.
Because I think a lot of people are cozy inside and.
And then a sexy ass reindeer comes along. Next thing you know,
sexual.
I don't know. Maybe. I'm like, what? Yeah. What seems
that
like
is
weird?
Okay.
You have two strikes. Use them.
Okay. We have too much.
Okay.
Wisely.
So, yeah. What could happen? There's something about sex on the holidays that feels like maybe counterintuitive. But I do agree that like just in the year 2017, it feels like sex would lead to one of these injuries.
Could be.
Will you tell us? Is it sex related?
It is not.
Okay, thank you.
Great.
Thank you. So what else could happen that's insane?
I mean, skiing. No, I guess that's sports. Skiing is sports.
Skiing would be sports.
What if it's something having to do with animals? Like rabies or
getting
something?
Getting mauled, but what's it called?
Maimed?
Being murdered.
I'm curious.
Impaled?
Why do you think animal attacks happen more on the holidays?
Oh, like you sit down on the
scar. Have you not seen like raccoon attacks? I wish that's
were
it.
Didn't you have a raccoon flu in the...
That's maybe a plot device, whereas when people are having a hard time on the holidays, a pile-on would be also getting attacked by an animal.
Right.
Suffocation?
Oh, hey, that reminds me. Madeline won Best Actress for our last episode, episode.
Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Yeah, with Sterling.
Sterling, our guest was... my friend Sterling, who directed a feature that I was in a couple years ago. And yeah, I won Best Actress at...
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, this is a great part of the game.
Give us
everybody
the answer.
Claps.
Are you just buttering her up
so
for the...
I will tell you, I will give you a hint. It is not animal related.
It's not animal related. Okay.
But, so but think of other categories like animal.
Kids biting each other?
Like it's not an animal. Like if we were playing 20 questions, you would ask, is it like an animal?
Oh, is it a vegetable or a mineral?
It's not a mineral.
So it's vegetable?
Sort of.
Comas.
Fruit. It's fruit.
It's fruit. It's not fruit, but it is in the same vein. It's a something, a fruit. If you were to put fruit in a broader category.
Food.
Is it like hot? Like what are those, what's that thing that you hang?
Mistletoe?
Yeah.
You're getting warmer.
Is it a kissing thing?
It's not a kissing
thing.
Herpes. Because we all have it.
Yeah. No.
Mistletoe is kind of right.
Is it a rash from...
Like poison ivy?
Yeah, is it like a poison ivy kind of thing?
You guys are basically... You're pretty much there. Can you...
Well, you should guess because you're helping a lot.
It's like a rash from like a poison ivy or like a tree... Like just allergies or like,
I mean, it's kind of, do you want to, it's like you're sort of,
we're really close.
Yeah. It's pretty like.
Is it a food allergy kind of thing?
You guys are.
Skin rash.
Yeah. I mean, a rash, but also, so one of, I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to tell you because you pretty much guessed it.
That's also gout.
It's
gout.
Gout.
It's plant poisoning.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know why I didn't think I do that.
It's plant poisoning because mistletoe, I'm actually going to, this is all in, good to know. Mistletoe is just one of several holiday plants that can be hazardous if ingested.
Poinsettia, holly berries,
yeah. Jerusalem cherry, and
what's a Jerusalem cherry?
I don't know, but I guess it's a holiday thing. But most Christmas trees can be toxic if you eat them, and they cause nausea, vomiting, skin rashes, and other side effects.
Jerusalem cherry is actually when you take a Jew's virginity. Little known fact. Little known fact.
Get out of here.
All right, I'm going to go. I got to go.
But that gives you a rash.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah,
that's so weird.
Plant poisoning?
That's, so is there a number, like, what's the number one? Or are they just
they're,
like,
they weren't ranked.
What was the first one listed? You mentioned it at one point.
The first one listed
was car crashes? No.
No, I made the list go away.
I'm really surprised one wasn't like falling on ice.
Yeah, it felt like.
But I guess maybe they just included in falls.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
falls. Sort of like the Family Feud thing where it's like they apparently didn't survey me. You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
exactly. Like that's the one thing.
This one.
Burns.
This took us.
Yeah, the list. What like it was? I think in no order.
I see.
First was burns. Second falls. Third choking. Fourth electrical shocks. Fifth, sports accident. Six, cuts. Seven, plant poisoning. Eight, car crashes.
We did it.
You guys performed very well.
Thank you. We are a good team.
Really good teamwork.
So, Maureen, what would you like to plug for our loyal listeners? You can tell them about places they can find you on the internet, things that you've been working on that they could see, that you'd like them to see.
Yeah, I guess if you want to see any of my stuff, you can just go to MaureenBruch.com.
Great.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Perfect, perfect.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun.
I finally got to tell
the world about my weird heart thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Thanks, guys. Really was therapeutic.
Good.
Wouldn't it be helpful for other people, too? Because I could see somebody having those symptoms.
Yeah.
Yeah. But really, take care of yourself.
Yeah, take care of yourself. And it's probably not gout. If you think it's gout, it probably is. No matter how many doctors tell you, it might be gout.
If you're young and cool, it's gout.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you want to be hip, it's gout.
If people calls you sexy, it's probably gout. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Definitely Dying.
Until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.